The IBSA Judo World Championships begin on November the 16th out in Odivelas in Portugal. British Judo are sending an 8-strong team to those championships. The youngest member of that team is 19-year-old Evan Malloy. The Wiltshire judoka's rise in the sport has been rapid, to say the least. He only started the sport aged 13 because his parents wanted him to shed a few pounds, but in just 18 months, Malloy was already catching the eye at the national level. The IBSA World Championships represent another great learning opportunity for Malloy, whose long-term target is to become a Paralympic medalist. But there's no hiding behind the good the sport of judo does for him. In his words, the sport turns him into a different animal, in a good way. And there is plenty of determination on show for this rapid riser. That same determination will be on show for all to see on the mat out in Portugal. Evan, is a very warm welcome to the podcast. I know it's been a very busy day, packed full of media commitments left, right and centre, as well as some training for you as well. But first off, how are you doing on this Wednesday afternoon?
I'm fantastic. Feeling a little bit tired after training this morning. But yeah, I'm feeling great.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, the reason we're all here is because you've been selected as part of the British team for the IBSA 2018 World Judo Championships, which are in Portugal, from the 16th to the 18th of November.
Yeah.
First up, how are we doing in terms of training and preparation-wise from your point of view?
Preparation couldn't be going any better, to be honest with you. It was tough to begin with, to kind of get settled into what the event actually was. But once that settled in, it was a lot easier because my mentality is at the stage where I am like, it's another day at the office. I have nothing to worry about at this event. I just need to go and perform at my best. And if I perform at my best, I shall get the result I desire.
Mm-hmm. You're obviously one of the youngest members, I think it's fair to say, on this team.
Yeah, I'm the youngest, yeah.
How does that feel to be a part of it at your age?
The fact that I'm a part of it, I think just it opens up the possibilities for what I have in the future. What the possibilities for me are endless with judo, like... My aim is to go to Tokyo. I want to perform. I want to do my very best. And that sounds fairly vague, but... And then we move on from that to the next cycle. Go to Paris. I want to win gold medal. Mm-hmm. Gold medal is my aim.
Yeah. I should say, for anyone listening to this and wondering what the thuds are in the background as well, we're obviously here in Walsall
at the
British Judo Centre of Excellence, so there's a bit of practice going on.
Yeah, people are doing some training.
In the background, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about judo really in the sport and how you first got into it, because your rise has really been quite quick, hasn't it? So what was it that first attracted you to the sport?
So I was 13. I come to judo quite late, and I went to a judo club in Devizes, where I'm from, and I was introduced to my coach Mark Burbage and Jason Parsons, and I was there for about 3.5 years, and then I moved to Bath University to train full-time while doing the Advanced Apprenticeship in Sport and Excellence, which is basically a qualification in sport. But yeah, it all started back in my hometown of Devizes with Mark and Jason, and they just developed me to what I am today.
Yeah. You obviously mentioned those two coaches there.
Yeah.
How important have they been in sort of making you what you are?
They have been... I'd like to think that they've been a very big part in my success. In the past couple of years, I have neglected to go back to my club and let my coaches know how everything's going, what's going on. But I have recently picked that up again, and I'm going back, and I'm having more interaction with Mark, the coach. So, yeah, it's a really good relationship, mm-hmm. I think.
Personally, and I suppose I'm thinking in terms of whether it's your schoolwork or your family yeah. life and things like that, what did judo give you? Did it sort of bring the best out of you?
Judo is a way of getting rid of energy. It makes you stronger, it makes you faster. It turns you into a different animal, basically, that not it's hard to describe, because you turn into, basically, it's really difficult to describe, but basically it turns you into a different beast that is really desirable once you get into it.
Mm-hmm.
If you get to a certain stage and then you're like, oh my God, I want this, you'll just do anything for it.
Yeah. Is that, I don't know, is it almost letting out your inner beast, if that makes sense?
Like, I suppose, yeah, it sounds funny, but that's probably the best way to put it. It gets rid of a lot of aggression towards university, towards home life, anything that's going on with the coaches, if there's anything that, like, disputing or anything like that, which is a very, very rare occurrence, to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's good for all those kind of things.
So when you started, did you almost use it as like a stress release?
I actually started judo because my parents thought I was too heavy, because
oh, really?
I was a chubby young lad, and then it just evolved into something much, much more. And now, here I am.
Yeah, that brings me on to my next question then, is at what point did it become something that you really wanted to take seriously and then take it to the next level?
So, in 2014, I went to a Para Potential Day, which we still hold here, and I was able to impress enough that they wanted to take me on as a power of potential for the future. So I've been monitored since I was around 15 years old, 14, 15. And every year is just more been added to the schedule. So it's just been more and more and more. And now I'm on the level with Chris, Elliot, Dan, Jack, where I am trying to qualify for a Paralympic Games now. My time has come for me to go for it.
Yeah, and I mean, you said you started relatively late as well in the sport, but like I said at the start, the rise was very quick, and it was 18 months before you were then attending British Visually Impaired, a taster session, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right here at this university. Do you still look back on all of that and think, how on earth did that happen so quickly?
Yeah and no, because the way I see it a lot of the time is I'm here for the journey, how fast it happens, whatever happens. The faster the better, to be honest. That's probably the best thing for me to say. The faster the better, because I want to achieve a goal. The sooner I achieve it, then I can achieve it again.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something that I don't want to stop until I've achieved what I want to achieve.
Yeah.
And that, I think that is what anybody in their sport wants, whether that is Paralympic or Olympic. All of us want the same thing. So we have a integrated training system here at British Judo. So we train with the Olympic athletes, and we all want the same things. We are pushing the Olympic athletes just as much as they push us. But the fact that we're training with some of the best in the world, it just makes us that much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Following on from that then, because on this podcast we've had the likes of Nakoda Smythe-Davis on, Sally Conway as well. Having them in and around your training session, you must pick up all sorts of things, not in terms of technique, but mental strength as well.
Yeah. So Sally and Nakoda, they are near enough the perfect athletes that you want. Watching Sally do what she does on a weekly basis is ridiculous. Her nutrition is there, her training is there, she knows when to bring the intensity, she knows when to take it back a bit. And to same with Nakoda, and to watch that is a privilege on its own.
Mm-hmm. Because that's something we're always interested in tapping into, because for a lot of people it's easier said than done, is having that level of determination for your sport. Was that something that came very easy to you, or was it watching people like Sally and Nakoda that you picked that up from?
Like, going back a bit, where you said, like, you said it happened very fast. I haven't had the time to think about it.
You've just been carried away
with it. I've just done what I've been told, and that has probably been the best way for it. Mm-hmm. Because if you have time to think about it, I truly believe no matter how you look at it, you will doubt yourself at some point. Mm-hmm. And where it's happened so fast, I haven't had that opportunity, and I'm glad that I didn't.
So in terms of then, because obviously we have the World Championships coming up in November, how does your training and preparation wise, what happens between now and that start date when you first get out there?
So the intensity has been put up a fair amount. Extra sessions have been added to our programme, which is it's a bit tough. Wednesdays and Thursdays are the toughest days of the week for me. So not only do we do the judo side of things, but we also go to a Brazilian jiu-jitsu club on the side of our judo to kind of improve our ground game, which is really important in judo. But where judo is constantly evolving, the groundwork and BJJ, they're nearly coming hand in hand now. They're almost the same thing. It's better to do both to improve yourself, really.
Yeah. For those wondering, in what way do you mean judo is evolving as a sport?
Judo is a sport that's constantly evolving, because there's always rule changes and people get round the rules, and then people are inventing new techniques on the years. You could just go on Instagram and you could go look at some judo pages and see some of the ridiculous throws that are done that you could show a judo person, and that is, it's not traditional. When it's not traditional, it's just people have some amazing judo to be able to do some of the things they do. Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean by it's constantly evolving, because people do that technique, and where we have social media nowadays, people see it on Instagram or see it on Facebook, see it on Twitter, and then they're like, oh my god, I want to try that at training. So it spreads.
Mm-hmm. Have you set yourself any kind of target or aim once you get out there in November, or is it very much aim for the top?
For me, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't think that's realistic. I don't think that's realistic for me at this stage. But that being said, if I do perform at my best on the day, I do believe I can get a top placing on that stage. And if I do, that would be my judo clicking into competition. So that would be my ideal.
What in terms of preparation then, what differs between sort of setting yourself up for a competition day to just coming into training and being your best in training?
So if you're not in training, basically you can just kill yourself in training. You can just train as hard as you want. But if you have a competition, you do have to taper, you have to deload yourself. But leading into the competition, like we've already said, intensity is just upper level, next level stuff. And that's down to Ian Johns, the head Paralympic coach, and Nigel Donoghue, who gives us the programs and the facilities to be able to do all these things. Again, with the integrated programs, it's a bigger thing than people make out, because just people don't do it. They have their Paralympic team, their Olympic team. It's not just one.
Mm-hmm. Long term, you've obviously already mentioned the Paralympic side of things.
Yeah.
Is that the ultimate goal?
Paralympic is the ultimate goal, yeah, because I am not able to get on the level that some of the world tops are at. Where we want to be is we want to be able to give these guys a good fight. Like, That over there, that's Eric Ham and Stuart McWatt. Stuart McWatt is number one in 80 kilos in the country, and Eric Ham is number one in 73s. So I'm in 73 kilos. So my aim is to get as close as Eric as possible, because he is a contender on the world stage. So Stuart competed at the Senior World Championships this year. So it's one of them things that the closer we are to our Olympic athletes, then that just makes the Paralympic side of things that much easier.
Mm-hmm. That strikes me as a really good setup then that they've got here in place in British judo. It's something that should really be replicated elsewhere.
Oh, yeah. And all the credit for that goes down to Nigel Donoghue. It's his ideas, it's his plans, it's the way he wants to see things, and his ideas have made the centre what it is today.
Last up, we'll kind of give you the opportunity to sell your sport a little bit. Mm-hmm. For those who might be, you know, having all sorts of whatever struggles they've got going on in their life, how good is sport and judo in helping you out when times are tough?
Doing sport is a massive separation from anything going on, because it's easy to say, I think nobody's life's perfect, everybody has stress in life, everybody has their separation, whether that's going to the gym, whether that's going to play a game of tennis, game of squash, whatever, it can go to anything, but especially if you're in a fighting sport particularly, it's a good way of getting your aggression out, I feel. And once you do a training session, like, you could start off in a bad mood and you could start off all angry and grumpy and things like that, but then after the session, everybody's spirits is lifted just because they've had that release of energy and anger that is going on.
And then for people back home seeing what you're doing now in sport, do you kind of see yourself as maybe a little bit of a role model for people back home as well?
Yes, a few people do. A few people I do see like that. So it's I just try to be me at the end of the day. Like, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do any of these things. So just by being me, I hope is enough for people to consider me a role model, and hopefully get people into judo and inspire people to kind of go as far as they can go with whatever sport they choose.
Exactly, and being you is all people can really ask for, essentially.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for Evan for coming onto the podcast
and telling
us about your story. And it's obviously such a quick rise, but we really hope that rise continues and you carried on that wave all the way through the World Championships in Portugal and onto the Paralympics as well in 2020.
Thanks very much.
So thanks so much.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to this judo special. You can subscribe on podcast platforms everywhere and find out more about us on our website, sportspielonline.com. Don't forget to tune in to our next judo special episode ahead of the IBSA World Championships, where we chat to Rio 2016 Paralympian Jack Hodgson. That episode is out on November the 11th.